Now, if you would, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning in verse 30. Well, let me start with 36. Let's hear the Word of God. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing this morning as once again. We have the privilege of opening your word and feeding upon it. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scriptures to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive them. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, they say the older you get, the faster time goes. And it feels that way sometimes. But the reality is that there's still 24 hours in a day. There's still 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute, 168 hours in a week. Those things never change. They stay consistent. It just, for us, it seems like it goes faster when you get older. I think it's hard, at least for me anyway, to imagine in his humanity how Jesus was perceiving this week that he was living. Because the reason for his coming was literally only hours away. How fast must have time been going for him in his humanity in that week? John told us that after Jesus beckoned the people to believe in the light, that he hides himself. He says he departed and was hidden from them. Why? Why did Jesus go and hide after delivering this message, this sermon, this teaching, this preaching, if you would? Why did he go and hide? Was he afraid of what the Jews were going to do to him? Of course not. I mean, that's the whole reason that he was here. He wasn't afraid of that. I think Jesus hid himself for two reasons. The first being, it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that he remained in control of the situation. Nobody was going to come and do anything to him before he said so. Jesus is completely in control his entire life. But in these last hours, when it appears that men are coming to do things to him, to take him away and whatever, he's still in control. They don't do anything apart from his say-so. The other thing I think he goes and he hides himself is that he is pretty much finished with public ministry. The remainder of his time is going to be dedicated to his disciples. He's spending time in private with the brothers, and he is ministering to them. He is teaching them. He's giving like last minute preparations to them for what it is that they're going to do. Because how they respond in the next few hours is not the way you would expect them to respond. So he's preparing them anyway, just to, because that's going to pass. They've got missions ahead of them that they're going to have to take care of. And then the word says, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. And I wonder, have you ever had the opportunity to engage someone in a theological debate or a discussion? You know, debate sounds like a war, but you know, just to talk with them on theological issues. And I mean, even if the discussion is only that you are trying to give the gospel to them in some way. And then you find out then that no matter how soundly you make your argument, they don't believe you. Does that frustrate you? Do you get frustrated by that? I think most people would. I think most people do get frustrated, whether it's a theological argument you're trying to make or what are you going to have for supper? If people don't believe what it is you're saying to them, there's a frustration there that comes along. You know, unbelief is probably the most grievous of sins. And Jesus, though he was Jesus and did miraculous things, had many people who didn't believe him. So why should you get frustrated when people don't believe you? Jesus had many people that didn't believe him. In fact, Jesus ministered to thousands of people. We know this. He ministered to thousands of people. And more of those people were guilty of unbelief than became genuine followers of Christ. Now think about that. Here's people in this time having the privilege of being taught and preached to and ministered to by the Son of God, and they don't believe him. In spite of the fact that he validated his message with supernatural signs. He wasn't just a run-of-the-mill preacher. He wasn't just the guy from the next town over. Jesus was the Son of God ministering to people and reinforcing his ministry with signs. Supernatural things. Starting with the changing of water to wine at a wedding. That seems like such a little thing, right? It was a big deal to the people having the wedding. Changing the water to wine. And he went about and he healed people with crippled limbs. He made them whole. And he made blind eyes see. And all kinds of afflictions Jesus healed. This was not just another preacher. Two separate times, once to 4,000 people plus, once to 5,000 people plus, he fed them. With what? A few sardines and some hamburger bun-sized loaves. Just a few. He fed thousands of people. How do you do that? You know, if some people could figure out how that was done, they'd be able to keep their food costs lower. Just saying. And Jesus made the dead live again. There weren't other people doing these things. God used the miraculous to reinforce the ministry in that time. Now, there were a lot of people who believed that Jesus could be the political Messiah. We've talked about that. Some of the themes in this gospel are repeated over and over again. So we hit them over and over again. But they believed that this could be the political Messiah that they looked for. They weren't looking for a spiritual kingdom. They were looking for a temporal deliverance. But those that believed that he could be the political Messiah were few. But fewer still were those that understood and believed that he was the Son of God. You know, at some point in your life, you've either used the phrase, or at least you've heard the phrase, that and everything happens for a reason, or everything happens for a purpose. And that's true. But the purpose or the reason may not be what you consider it to be. It may not be your considered purpose. But everything does happen for God's purpose. God has a plan set in order and it's running along just like he ordained it to run. And everything that occurs, occurs for his purpose. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you what his purpose is in all these things because I don't understand everything. I'm just a big dummy trying to get along. But God's purpose will always be fulfilled. And John tells us that the unbelief that the people had toward Jesus was for the fulfilling of prophecy. There was a purpose even in that unbelief. He refers back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is a chapter specifically dedicated to the Messiah. And it begins, "Who has believed our reports?" After all the preaching, after all the teaching, both publicly and privately, because Jesus did both. Jesus did public preaching, but he did a whole lot of ministering to people in a private setting. In spite of all that, those who believed Christ's words are few. Who has believed our report? And then he follows it with, "To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" What is the arm of the Lord? You know, sometimes we read the scriptures and we know that they sound right, but we don't really understand everything that we read. It's like a kid in Miss Robbins' class, you're trying to get them to read Pilgrim's Progress, you know? They'd be saying, "Miss Robbins, what's this word? What's this word?" I mean, in a sentence, the next word. Not getting it. So sometimes when we read the scriptures, it's like that for us. You know, we'll read it and we say, okay, this is a good phrase. The arm of the Lord sounds good. What is it? It only means his power. It means his power. And we see, and the people here saw the power of God in the miracles that Jesus performed. And we see the power of God to salvation, where? In the gospel. What Paul say? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it" what? "It is the power of God to salvation." of all the people that hear it preached, of all the people who hear it shared privately, how many hear and believe? We see the power of God in Jesus himself. Jesus, who is the creator, the one who made heavens and earth. All of these miracles, all of these evidences of the power of God, we see them. So, and there are so many opportunities for it. How many opportunities do you have to hear God's word preached? And how many opportunities do you take advantage of? But men have literally hundreds of thousands of opportunities to see and to hear and to believe. But he said, they could not believe. They could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. This is back to Isaiah, but it's chapter 6. That he's quoting from here. These were people who were spiritually dead. People who had absolutely no desire for God. No desire for understanding in truth. They were content to live in the tradition that they held. And God basically gives them the judgment that they asked for. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. God has prevented them. Understand that. God is doing that. And that should make you tremble. You reject the word of God. You reject his truth. You say, I'm content to live my life the way I want to live my life. I'm content to do whatever it is I please to do. With the people that Jesus is ministering to, the Son of God stands right before their eyes. But they can't see it. The people were not dumb. They were intelligent people. But their minds were darkened. Their hearts were darkened and dulled. Judgment was falling on them. They didn't know it. They just assumed that they were living their lives. In the living of their lives, it was just business as usual. They didn't understand. What a horrible, what a terrible, what a tragic thing it is to think that you're just fine. But in reality, you're cold and dead. And lost. With no ability of your own to escape it. And even worse, no desire. You're content to live in your deadness. content to live in the hardness of your heart. We never think about this aspect of God's dealing with people. We remember that God sent Moses to Pharaoh. God gave Moses a message for Pharaoh. And he went and he delivered that message to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh just laughed it off. He said, I don't know who you're talking about. And his heart was hardened. And Moses went away and he came back, and he went away and he came back, and he went away and he came back. And every time the message of God was delivered to Pharaoh, his heart became more hard. God was hardening him. Because God had a purpose. Scary stuff if you're on that side of the coin. Then we come to the word nevertheless. It happens in scriptures, you know, on and off and on and off. Nevertheless. And nevertheless is usually followed by some kind of blessing. In the passage we're looking at this morning, it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, nevertheless, God's judgment didn't come down on them all. Some heard. Some believed, even among the Jewish leadership. These are men who received a portion of grace. If you've come to the knowledge of faith in Christ, it's because he's given you the grace to make it happen. Don't you see? If you've come to the knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ, it's because God has made it possible in your life. God's judgment hasn't fallen on you. He says, I love you. And from before the beginning of this earth, I've loved you. And I've made the way possible. Funny thing, even when we come to faith, that dead guy still, he hangs around. He's not completely gone. And you'll put him to death and put him to death every day of your life until your physical life comes to an end. And you're going to have flaws. You're going to have things that come up. And for this group of guys, their thing was the fear of man. They believed in Jesus, but they were afraid of the Pharisees. Why? They didn't want to be excommunicated. They didn't want put out of the church because they believed in the Son of God. And so while they believed in Jesus and they had their faith in him, they were afraid of men and they faltered a little. They much preferred the praise of men, the approval of their peers. But Jesus said, what did he say back in Matthew? Matthew 10, he says, whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Think about that. And you say, I don't know. I don't want to make waves. I don't want to stir the pot. I believe in Jesus. Not everybody does. And when I'm in company with other people who don't believe in Jesus, I don't necessarily want to, I don't want to aggravate them. So I'll just be content to just not push the issue. Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. That should convict you deeply, if that's the case with you. Being a Christian, living a godly life, it's not always easy. Anybody who ever told you that all you got to do is come to Christ and your life is going to be easy street lied to you. Because the world hated Christ. And he says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Why would you expect any different? Sure, it's not easy to be a Christian. But we don't be a Christian by ourselves. We don't live the Christian life in our own strength. God, by His grace, keeps us. God, by His grace, envelops us in His love. And walks with us in this life. And reminds us that His word is true. And though sometimes we may feel it, we're never alone. He's always with us and continues to be until He brings us safely home to Himself. Let's pray.